The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Father God, again, we come before your presence, so grateful for your amazing love for us, for this opportunity to bring you our worship as we come giving you our time, setting aside these moments to be here together with the express intent of worshiping you, our amazing God and Father. So grateful that you understand and receive the sacrifice of our worship. Grateful that we can gather brothers and sisters, your children, that we are privileged to worship the God who hears and answers prayer, that you are everything your word tells us that you are, and that we are able to see you working as we rejoice in the many answers to the prayers that we hear and that we share, the unspoken as well as those that are verbalized, many answers we receive day to day in the amazing blessings that are ours in Christ. We thank you, Father, for your hand on this church, and we want to pray a special blessing on our annual meeting, that you would give us wisdom as we conduct the business of the church. But we know that the church is more than just the organization, and so we ask that you would give us the courage to boldly witness for Jesus Christ everywhere we go and in all that we do. Help us to remember that your plan for building the local church is that we, your children, would reach out to our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers and our fellow students, and that we would share Christ with them, that we would invite them to join us here. And in that vein, we ask that you would work in and through us to bring one new family into the church this next month. We pray for those who are struggling. Think of Bray Davis and the need he has with the abscessed tooth. Pray that that has been resolved this morning. Others, Father, we think of especially Lydia and this trip that has the potential to awaken things that they wouldn't necessarily need. You'd keep her healthy, as we prayed earlier. We pray you'd continue to work in Ken and Mimi's life and in Megan in her rebellion, that you'd break through her hardened heart. Others, Father, you've heard our requests and our prayers. We trust you and entrust them to you. Thank you for watching over our missionaries. We think of our frontline warriors, and we lift especially for the last time this month, Jesse and Ellie, the baby. We pray for Rafina, her unique situation. So grateful that you've allowed us to be part of what you're doing in Indonesia through these people, these brothers and sisters of ours. We pray you'd intercede in their behalf for the physical needs they have as well as the spiritual. And again, Lord, we ask a special blessing for this baby. Thank you again for hearing us, for answering us, for loving us. We ask it all in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. So, I enjoyed the song you select and the verse that we've read. Therefore, we are Christ ambassadors. And then an ambassador, he represents his country in another country. And as a citizen of heaven, we got to represent Christ here. It's a privilege to be here this morning to share with you a portion of the scripture that the Lord has been impressing on my heart for a while, found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through verse 16. But I'll be staying more from verse 11 through verse 16. Jesus began his teaching. When you look at the verse 1, should we read it? It says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when the people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives its light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Lord, we thank you for today. We pray that you speak to us. We depend on you for spiritual food. We depend on you for life. And we're really grateful that you save us, that we'll keep on knowing you, get together here this morning to praise you, to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus teaching, when he, it's a very familiar passage, you know, blessed are the poor in the spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It's a little bit difficult sometimes when we have a lot of material possessions and see ourselves poor. When a poverty comes to mind, we think about somewhere in India and Africa where people don't have food. But even though we might have all that we need physically, spiritually, we have needs. But they are real needs. We know that we are in need. There are people who mourn, not because of anything bad they've done, because they chose Christ. If you read the Martyrs website, you read about the persecuted church and all the people going through in the Middle East and Nigeria and all that. It's a pain they go through every day because they chose Christ. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Some of our biggest challenge today, struggle, is pride. Arrogance, it's all about me. I know better than anyone else. The meekness has to do with humility, knowing that the Lord is above all, and it's all about God. And there are people who hunger, they not for this common food, but they want to know more about God. They want to know what is God's mind, what God has for them. Jesus said they will be blessed, and they will be filled of it. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Like Pastor was saying here at the Sunday school, we sometimes pray, God, judgment on other people, but we want His mercy on us. And Jesus is saying clearly here that we got to show other people mercy. There are people who did things, said things that we feel like, okay, I think we want to fight or we want to respond back in a negative way. But the Bible calls us to show that mercy, that tender heart toward them. It's difficult. Blessed are the pure in heart. And I believe this is a very tough one because it's really easy to put on a show. You know, sometimes we show that this didn't really bother me or didn't really hurt me. But down inside, there is a rage going on. Feel like we're going to choke you right now. Blessed are those who are pure in the heart. And that's a great need, spiritual need. We got to pray every day, ask God to help us to be pure in our heart. Peacemakers, they will be called sons of God. It's really difficult to reconcile two parties who everybody knows that I am right and the other person is wrong. And we believers are the one in the middle to tell the people what is right because they don't know it. And then blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. The righteousness that they have is not from their own being or not because they were born great or they've done anything good. It's because of Jesus Christ. And so they're showing that righteousness. They're loving Jesus. They're honoring Him. But they are persecuted. Churches, at the Sunday service, they've received grenade as a Sunday gift. They were killed. You read about the book of Hebrews, what happened even in the past. They persecuted the prophets. Now, after talking about all this, and Jesus knows that there are this category of people in front of Him. Because the truth is, man needs never change. The gospel never changes, so the needs of man. Every time you go somewhere, there are people with guilt. There are people with emptiness. People with fear, with anger. Man needs to never change. And Jesus is saying that there is a solution for this. If you're going through all this because of me, because of God, you are blessed. Do we count it as a blessing? Not most of the time. We want to retaliate. Sometimes even we feel like life would have been easier even if we weren't believers or we didn't choose Christ. We feel like sometimes when you talk to people, Alexander, we talk, and when we evangelize to some young people, they just see Bible in the church as a book of rules where you can't have fun, where you can't do what you want to do. So they don't want to become a believer or believers because they think like they'll be tied up, they won't have a chance to do what they want to do. After speaking to the crowd, Jesus narrowed it down to believers. He said, "You are the salt of the earth." This is a very declarative sentence. He didn't say, "You could be the salt of the earth," or "You will be the salt of the earth." He said, "You are." What does that mean? Salt is something that we all know that anytime salt comes in contact with something, there is always a change. As a salt, we must affect our community. We must affect our nation. Why? It's because it's rotting. How do we affect our community? We choose to live differently. The way we speak, we change it. We can also ask God to help us that we want to affect people to show us the way we should do it. We have a people among us with various needs, health issues, financial struggles, loneliness. How can we affect these people? You see, if you have your soup in the pan here, cooking pan, and you have your salt on the other side, still nothing is happening till the salt is poured into and stirred up. We can't really affect people as the salt of the earth. We cannot do it if we don't come in contact. And we just have to do it. I thank God God didn't design a way that we have to do it all the time, because where you live, it's different. My community is different than your community. Where you work is different than where the other person works. Maybe your neighborhood is different than the other neighborhood. But what Jesus is saying is that trust me and affect other people. Come in contact with them. There is a guy that I believe some of you know about him. His name is Bernard Chalin Weber, or well known by Bernice Weber. He was a U.S. Coast Guardman stationed to Chatham, Massachusetts, and he was a petty officer. And a part of his duty was a cousin. He managed the 36-foot lifeboat to go save the 33 people in the T2 tank or tanker SS Peloton that was, you know, split in two in a horrific storm. When Miss Kauf assigned Bernie to go do that, everybody knows that you can't do that. He's just signing your death sentence. The sea is outrageous. How can you save them? It's dark. But Bernie told them that that's what he signed up for. He's a coast guardman. He got to do it. So he got for himself three other men, engine men, third class, a seaman, and another engine man, and they happened in the CG-36-500 and happened on the water. So when they were going, the seaman was in the front of the boat using the light to find the tanker. But the problem is that many people don't know is that Weber lost his compass. So even though he has the light, he doesn't know where, you know, the tanker was, the T2 was. And Mr. Koff, the leader, doesn't even want to give him a clear information how to find these people, the 33, the crew that are trapped in the low section of the ship. What to do? Even though he didn't have the compass, but because they had the light, and the seaman in the front of the boat was showing the light, they found it. You see, there is a reason why in the second part Jesus is saying, not that we just the salt to affect the people, but we are the light of the world. As a light, we bright. People can see it. As a light, we can find what is in the darkness. But before we do that, we must accept the spiritual obligation and responsibilities. When Jesus said we are the light of the world, we must accept the obligation that comes with it. Weber knows that when he goes into that sea, probably they will not come back. But he knew that as Coast Guard, that is his responsibility. He accepted it. At that time, he was pledged, or he was thinking about marrying Marion. Later on, he married Marion. And so she didn't want him to go. But Weber know that he is a Coast Guardman. He got to go on the sea. We are the light of the world. What are some of the spiritual responsibilities that we have? We have the mission. Jesus was clear about it. We reach out the lost for him. Sometimes we don't really have to go all the way to Guatemala to do that. Look around you. where you live, where you work, the swearings, the gossips, the hatred speeches. You see, sometimes we hear all that, but we just don't want to do much about it. We have a people who are around us. You talk to them, they don't even know who Jesus is. Our responsibility is to go to them. You can decide and choose a family and visit them and ask them to spend time with you, or you want to spend time with them. Maybe they don't necessarily have to come to Calvary here, because it has to start from relationship to get to that point. It's also a spiritual obligation to show them Christ's love, especially that we are in this stage in our nation that the political thing are bringing more misunderstanding on things. It's really difficult to show a genuine love, but it's the responsibility or the obligation for us, the believers, to show love. It's also our responsibility to try to take someone into our wings and train them. It's also our responsibility as a believers, as we get together here, to invite our people. Pastor Ken oftentimes say, who is sitting here today because you invited him or her? It's not easy. Some of you will say, well, we've tried. They will never show up. I will say, I'll identify with you. But we'll never give up. You see, Jesus continues saying that we are the city of the hill. The believers coming together, living for Christ, they are the city of the hill. But what is the problem today in our nation is that the church, the believer or believers are not known as the city of the hill. The church is known today as just by its status. 510C3. I was visiting a doctor, and when he asked me what I do, I told him, I said, oh, yeah, you, the guys are the one who don't pay tax. And I said, well, that's all you know about the church? It is sad. I was a little bit upset, but when I went into myself, it's like, are we known? Are we truly the city on the hill? It's true, probably we are on the hill, but we are covered by the dead leaves of trees that people can't see it. And instead of becoming the light, we have become a camouflage. You know, the church is there, but we don't know what they do. We don't know who they are. And that's actually, it's not good. Our responsibility is to speak the gospel to the lost. Friends that we know do not know the Lord. But most of the time we say, well, we don't want to embarrass anybody. We want to be always politically correct. We want to be relevant. You know what? The day of relevance is finished. We got it laid out there, the gospel as it is. Call sin, sin. Call hell, hell. Call the blood. And God will honor it. As we accept our spiritual obligation and responsibilities, we must also admit our failures. Some of you have those glittering stuff you hang. They have a line them, or diamond stuff you hang them on the wall. Something that happens along the way is that it began to collect some dust. And so the brightness, the shininess of the diamond or those glassy stuff, it began to dim. And so you have constantly to keep on wiping it, cleaning it. If you go to jewelry store, you see them all the time, the dust and stuff. Because they want it to keep shining. They want that when you customer, you come for that necklace, you find it shining. Nobody want to buy a necklace that has a dust on the diamond stone. There have been some failures in our lives that have dimmed the light that Christ wants us to shine. Some of the failures were moral. Most of the time we don't want to hear it. We don't want to deal with it. I'm part of it. But Jesus is saying we got to shine. And like, Lord, yes, I want to do it. But I know that there is something holding you back, that you cannot do it. For some people, it's the sin of the screen. It's a very sad today in America, the divorce, because the woman they watch on TV, they compare it to their spouse. And they don't find their wives any more attractive. Lies. Lack of integrity. There have been some failure that for some people is the bar. Just I want to do this for Christ, but it's really difficult to be sober. How can we shine if we don't admit some of these failures? And as the jewelry seller keep dusting and let Christ always dust our life to remove it so that we keep on shining. We have to admit it first. Some of us or some of you among here, probably you haven't trained your child the way it should go, and today you feel disrespected and you feel like you lost, you didn't do it. It might be a failure to admit, but you have also to know that in Christ there is hope. Because what Satan wants us to believe is that he just wants us to keep on living with those guilt in our heart. And every day we keep going back, feeling like there is no hope. Are you allowing Christ to dust your life so that you can shine? We accept the responsibilities as the light. As the light, we must admit some failures to be able to renew our relationship with Christ. And as the light, we may accomplish the good works. Let your life shine, verse 16, before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Like I said before, in our community we have, you know, people with health issues. Fond du Lac here has a lot going on. We have a nursing home, we have assisted living. And sometimes we don't even need to apply through the government to go there and help. Sometimes we have a time. The TV show can wait. We can volunteer in the schools, after school programs, and find our way to get into school and share the light with the people. Some of us will say, well, you know, I'm shy. I can't be bold before people. You know, God still wants to use you the way you are. All that he wants you to do is ask him to show you the way that you can help. He will show you that. It's really amazing when you read the church history. Not just the one find the book of Acts, the time of Martin Luther and all that. You read the church history and you see the devotion, the dedication, the intentionality these people have or had and serve the Lord compared to what we do today. We don't want to do good work for people to pray what we do or give us praises. Jesus was clear here that they will pray. I mean, they will praise your Father in heaven. You know, there are things that when you do it, people know that if that was left to you, you would have done it. Certainly you did this for God. There are even times we tell people that. You know what? If it were me, I wouldn't do it. But I'm doing it because of God. Those are the deeds that Christ is talking about. Because God has already enabled us. He put his spirit in us to do those deeds. I understand that churches feed people on the street, but that shouldn't just be the end of the mission. We must accomplish the works, the good works. You wonder if that was all the story about Bernie Weber. No. How did he bring? Out of the 33 people, one of the guy couldn't make it. I was coming down the ladder, he fell into the sea as the ship was, you know, sinking more. But out of the 33, he brought 32 back. How did he do it? His good work. He was coming, and the guy asked him, Weber, how are we going to find the pier? He said, I don't know. We just have to remain in a boat and let the sea take us to where. Maybe we'll find a land somewhere and land there. And people's like, how? But he doesn't have the compass. What do you want him to do? When Miriam came and Weber wasn't still back, she drove. When she was driving, other people drove and followed her, and they all went to the pier. And so the storm really cut out all the electricity in the town. So Mary parked her car, turned on the light over the sea. And then another gentleman said, everybody should do the same thing. So they all turned on their car light. And a very far somewhere, Bernie Weber began to see the light, very, you know, blurry. But they began to follow that light. And before they realized, they found themselves at the pier, on a dock. Can you imagine that Marianne would just drove there and be waiting for his fiance to come and didn't turn on that light? And so the idea never happened to anybody else to do so. How would have they made it back to the pier? You see, the light that shines attracts people in the darkness to that light. And that's exactly what Christ is talking about. So he brought all the people out of the boat by following the light that he was seeing. Jesus Christ is the light. You don't have a Jesus, you don't have the light. It's just that simple. Sometimes you have it. We have Jesus, but like I said before, we have allowed some sin to really dim the light, even turn it off. But how can the people come to know Christ? If we that represent Christ, if we who are Christ's ambassadors, we're not shining, they won't find it. There might have been some application throughout the sermon, but I just want to give you the bottom line. As a salt, how do I affect people? As the light of the world, what do I do? Well, you can plan to visit families in your community, believers and unbelievers. You can also make a list of 15 people from your local authorities or official to the president that you will be praying for. When I was in the seminary, that was one of the assignments that almost every semester you got. You gotta write to the congressman or contact one of them, ask them what you want to pray for. That was one of the most difficult assignments, actually. The congressman in Chicago, he never got back to me. Just spoke always with his representative. But anyway, he found it funny that student seminary calling them to know what they can be praying for. And I was telling myself, you know what? If it were me alone, I wouldn't do it. It's a homework. But we have to do this. They need wisdom. We can sit home and talk about how tired we are with what's going on. But this show is not run by the talk. We have to pray for them. Mention their name. What will we pray for? That God will grant them wisdom. It's really difficult to lead people. Find names. Local officials. Way up there. Third point. Actually, you have this in your bulletin. Third point. Be a countercultural. You know? In this day, we have a people going backward. Sometimes we all feel like we want to do that. Technology that has have great impact on a society is taking us backward in a sense that what is wrong for some people, it's right. What is right, it's wrong. You know, Adam, who was even naked in the garden, is smarter than us. Because he named all the animals. We see ourselves today as civilized people. What do we do with it? What are the comments that come out of our mouths? Do we join the hate speeches? Or do we try to live differently, not letting the culture tell us what to do, but let God's word show us the way to live? And that last point, put yourself out there. It's very important. Cultivate relationships. When Jesus said that we are the salt, like I said, how can we do it? If we don't have, we don't try to go to people. I really don't think some of them will come. Sometimes they do come. If they see the light, they do come to you that you're just different. There is something about you. Maybe some of you have heard that. There is just something about you. Well, it's the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ. But most of the time, they will not make the step. So we got to go out there. Put yourself out there. Cultivate relationships. Where you shop, go to, you know, Walmart and all that. Some of those girls checking your stuff, you ask them if you can spend time with them. If they can come over your house, tell them you have a message for them. The light starts at the foot of the cross. Some find it, some did not. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. He also said in John 1:19 that the light has come into the world, but men rejected the light because they love darkness, for their deeds are evil. Have you found the light? Is Jesus in your life? If not, this is not about shame. It doesn't matter how long you've been in church. I believe Pastor Ken, Elder Ron, myself, talk to us. Call us. The point is not to make a public fun of anybody. But this is a serious business because life has a deadline. And the scary part is you don't know it. When I was in school, all my assignment, or all of you were in school, all your assignment, they have a deadline. And you know it. You know that by this time, I'm turning this project in. But the life deadline, none of us know it. And therefore, we just can't live like this is all about it. There is nothing to be shy about. Talk to Pastor. Talk to me. Talk to Ron. We would love to explain this to you. You find Christ, you find the light. You don't find Him, you find darkness. And that's serious. Father, we thank you and we pray that you help us, that we'll always choose you, we'll follow you wholeheartedly in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org. Or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.